Then the Lord said to Moses, "Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of this country." God also said to Moses, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself fully known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, where they resided as foreigners. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the Israelites, 'I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord.'" Moses reported this to the Israelites, but they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and harsh labor. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go, tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the Israelites go out of his country." But Moses said to the Lord, "If the Israelites will not listen to me, why would Pharaoh listen to me, since I speak with faltering lips?" And our second reading this morning is in the New Testament. It's from John chapter 8, starting at verse 31. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me because you have no room in for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your father." Paul, why don't you come up and join me? Let me just pray for Paul as he comes to bring God's word to us this morning. Father, we thank you for Paul as he has prepared the message to bring us this morning. Thank you for his willingness to continue being part of the preaching team here at Cosham Baptist Church. We pray you would give us open ears and open hearts to hear the message you're going to bring through him this morning. Amen.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Well, it's good to be back. I've kind of left, but now I'm back again. But it's really lovely to be back. And I'd like to, on behalf of Mo and I, to say a big thank you for the very generous gift that you gave to us on our leaving the church. That's very, very kind of you. Thank you so much. So my job today is to introduce us to the second great theme in the story of the Bible that we're going through, the story that makes sense of life. Now, we've just finished part one of this, which is all about origins, and now we're looking at the theme, the great theme of Exodus, which literally means way out. Odus, way, ex, out. As one of the hits of the great Queen, the group The Queen, put it, "We want to break free!" So we're looking at freedom and the quest for freedom, the quest for Exodus. And this is a universal cry all over the world. People are crying out for freedom. Majorities and minorities are crying out to be free. In Myanmar, North Korea, Nigeria, the call to freedom. In the United States, ethnic minorities are calling for it, for freedom, following Trump's oppressive policies. Maybe you have neighbors who are different to you, and they want freedom to live their lives as they see fit, even though the way they live their lives may sit uncomfortably with the way you live your life. Or maybe you need freedom yourself. Maybe your life is dogged by unhealthy attitudes or unwise practices. So freedom is a universal cry. So I want to split this sermon into two. The first, we're going to look at two big lies that we're told. The second, two big truths. Two truths that promise true freedom is found as we take those truths seriously. So lie number one. Lie number one is this. We live, we're told, in a free society. Sorry to burst your bubble, but we do not live in a free society. Mo gave me a shock a few days ago over the dinner table, and I'm sorry, Don, I didn't check with you about sharing this, but I think it'll be okay. I can't recall how this came up, but she said these words. Maybe we need to take a break from watching TV at least once a week. And I'm thinking, what? We've got to not watch TV for at least once a week? What? This is terrible. What? But I always watch TV. Every evening I watch TV. Because I like watching TV. But maybe TV has a control over me. You see, we're not really free. There are always things around us and maybe in us that have control over us. Let's talk media for a minute. So much of our media controls and influences our behavior without us being aware. Do you know that? Now, when was the last time you watched a film or TV series in which there was a happily married couple as part of the main cast? When was the last time? Ah, you can't think, can you? You know why? Because society is telling us there aren't any happily married couples and marriage is a bad thing. You see, there's an agenda. And if there is a married couple in a TV series, they're an oddity. They're weird. They're peculiar because they're happy. Marriage is both biblical and proven to be to create a safe and productive world in which children flourish. But we are being told that is not necessarily the case. But it is true. Yes, I understand. I'd be a very insensitive minister not to realise that marriages sometimes do not work. And I get that. And they're complex and they're complicated. But we're being controlled. We're being influenced by agendas all the time. Via the media. Morality. Okay? We used to know what was right and wrong, right? Yeah? Would you agree? Yeah? We used to know what was right and wrong. Now we're being told there is no right and there is no wrong. You can do what you like and it's going to be okay. But it's never okay. It's never okay. Go back to Exodus, right? God leads his people out of Egypt into the promised land. God says to his people, I've taken you out. My grace, my love for you, unmerited favor has led you out into the promised land full of milk and honey. Where are you going to prosper? And then he says, I'm going to give you some guidelines. I've led you out into freedom. Now I'm going to give you some guidelines. If you stick to those guidelines, you'll be absolutely fine. You will flourish. What happens? For a while, they flourish. And then after a while, they go, we're not having any of that. No, we're going to just do our own thing. What happens? What happens? Please say something to me. It goes round and round and round. Exactly. Thank you. Thank you, Fran. Yeah. Once they stick with God, they're fine. Once they step out of God's purposes, they're not fine. Once they step in, they're fine. Once they step out, they're not. And it will always be the case. And let me say this. That doesn't just apply to society outside of the church. That applies within the church and within our own lives. Once we stick to what God is saying, we'll be okay. Once we step out of what God is saying to us, because he loves us and he knows the best for us, then we're always going to have problems. So we can be controlled by the media. We can be controlled by the morality around us. And this is really interesting, technology. Oh, yes. Now, I don't want to scare you. But in his latest book, respected eminent Christian professor John Lennox, get ready, keep safe on your seats, you know, hold on to your seats, believes this, that the beast in Revelation, okay, could already be doing his fiendish work in our day with the rise of, you know what I'm going to say? AI. Yeah. Where AI is slowly but surely being seen by many people already as the alternative God, who is going to bring freedom and prosperity to everybody. But the truth is this. AI will dominate and dehumanize us. It will dominate us and it will dehumanize us. And it's all, do you know that there are people already worshipping AI? Literally, AI, that is their God. It's happening already. Revelation is already taking place. So, yeah. Are we really living in a free society? Well, maybe not. Maybe we are. You know, supermarkets, right? Go into supermarkets one day, you know where you're going to go. You know where all the stuff is, right? Yeah. Then you go there the next week or the next month. Hang on a minute. I thought chocolate was here, but now bread is here. And what are they doing? They're controlling us. They're going, oh, you can go there now and get more. You can spend more over there and then less over there. And, you know, they're controlling us. Or, you know, let's ground this even more. What about the boss who treats us badly? Or bullies us? Or the illness that dogs us? That depresses us, or the debt that we inadvertently get into, that we're having difficulty to pay off. And then the Christian who just wants to pray on a street corner, and it just so happens there's an abortion clinic down the road, and she's told she can't pray there. She's not allowed to. Or the teacher at school who's not allowed to, in the discussion and the conversation about morality, the teacher is not allowed to bring up what the Bible says about whatever. Are we really free? You see, the Bible is straight talking about all of this. The truth is that none of us are free without Jesus. Because without Jesus, we're all slaves of sin. And see, by the very nature, a slave can only do what its master tells it to do. We can't do anything else. We have to go with what the master tells us, what the master chooses for us. And the truth is, brothers and sisters, unless Jesus is master of our lives, something else is controlling us. But also, let's just broaden this a bit more. You know, in many situations throughout the world, they're not suffering from personal sin. Christians around the world are suffering from collective corporate sin, systemic sin that governments are placing on them, dominating them with, oppressing them with. So in Afghanistan, women cannot be educated. In North Korea and Somalia, people cannot become Christians because they will die. They will be executed because that's what the national policy says. Up until recently, in many parts of North Africa, basic medicine for malaria, for example, was unavailable because the government wouldn't allow the medicine in. And the Exodus story, what's going on there? Okay, the Exodus story details that it was the worldly government of Pharaoh insisting that God's people worked and worked and worked and worked so that they could not worship. That's the backdrop to this story. They were slaves of work so that they could not worship their Lord, which is why the cry in the Exodus story says, "Let my people go so that they can worship me." So, lie number one, we're in a free society? Well, and I guess what I'm doing is I'm trying to get us aware the context of which in which we live today. And actually, it's always been the case. Which is why Paul and Jesus kept saying, be alert, be aware, think. One of Paul's favorite words is think. What's happening here? Think what you're being told. Think what you're buying, what you're watching. Think about it. So that you're not drawn into stuff that is unhelpful. Line number two. We're free when we are at the center of the story. That's the second line. We are free when we are at the center of the story. Let me give you an example of this. The great young actor, Timothée Chalamet. Anybody heard of him? Yeah? Made his name being Willy Wonka a few years ago. He's up for another Oscar. An Oscar. For his lead role in Sue and Reg's favourite film, ask them about it later, in his role in Marty Supreme. You had a really good time watching that, didn't you? It was so good they walked out, but there we are. It's about a tennis player, table tennis player. But the point is that Timothée Chalamet has said his ambition is to be the top Hollywood actor. That's his ambition. He wants to be the name, the film star of Hollywood, of the whole world. He wants to be center stage. Yeah. And that's going to bring freedom. But that won't bring freedom. And it never brings freedom. Never, ever brings. We do not flourish when we are the center of the universe. No. Yeah. Think about the emperors and kings, or maybe today, you know, the presidents today. You know, think about Nebuchadnezzar, right? Pharaoh, you know, Henry VIII. Yeah? So many of them wanted to be at the center of the universe, and it didn't work. Napoleon, Hitler, Putin, and dare I use the American name. In 1543, Copernicus destroyed the idea that the Earth was the center of the universe. Yeah, the Earth wasn't the center of the universe. And for us to flourish, we've got to admit, we're not the center of the universe. Yeah. I came to see that as a minister quite a few years ago. With the help of Mo, she was always good to keep me in my place. And I'm so grateful for that, you know. You know, she never said you're not the center of the universe, but, you know, I realized, you know, a few years ago, I'm a minister of a church. I'm a servant of the church. That's all I am. I'm not the center of the church. I'm not king of the church. If I leave tomorrow, it's absolutely fine. But the lie that we're given is, we have to be at the center of the story to be free. But God's way is the completely the other way around. In the words of John the Baptizer, what does John say? We must become lesser so that he can become greater. Or in the words of Paul to the church in Rome, do not cherish exaggerated ideas about yourself or your importance, but try to have a sane view of your abilities. Yeah. Another way of putting this is, just let God be God. Let God be at the center. Let God be at the center of your lives. Let God be at the center of the church. Let God be at the center of the world. Pray that God would be the center of governmental, national, world, and international politics. Pray that. See, Adam and Eve, because of the voice of the tempter, put themselves at the center of their world. And what happened? Disaster. Absolute disaster. Now, I realize this is really difficult for us because we as human beings, and come on, be honest, I'm like this. I want to be the center of the world. Yeah. And I'll tell you why, right? When I preach or when I've performed on the piano, what do I want? Come on, be honest with me. What do I want? Yeah, of course. Of course I do. Yeah. But not just praise. I want it from everybody. And not just that, I want boxes of chocolates. And I want a new shirt and new shoes. When I was a bit younger than I am now, quite a few years ago, when music was my thing, I wanted to be famous. I wanted to be a famous pianist. I mean, when I look back now, it's ludicrous. I mean, because I only started playing the piano when I was 10. If you want to be famous as a pianist, you have to start at 2, at least 2. So I was 8 years out anyway. But I've said this to people already over the last few months. I do not want to become famous. I do not want to become famous. I do want to be the center pages of the national. I do not want to be famous. And I'll tell you why. It brings so much pain, so much hassle, so much unnecessary attention. And so many lives are destroyed through fame. It's not always necessarily the case. Yeah. We can't cope with being the center of the story. We can't cope with it. I mean, wise is the actor who, you know, stands in front of the camera, does his thing, she does her thing, you know, does their shoot. It goes really well. Then they go home and they play games with their family in front of the TV. They go back to normality. But you see, if we're the center of the story, and this is important, freedom is found, we're told, by self-determination. And by that I mean, freedom is found by being who we choose to be, who we want to be. Freedom comes from living as we choose to live, whatever the consequences. We can be what we want to be. We can go where we want to go. We can become what we want to become. Long live the revolution. We want to cut ourselves free from any political, cultural, spiritual, moral, sexual order. Because that brings freedom. And the truth is, it never brings freedom. Discover your true inner self and it will lead to happiness. Another way of putting it is self-actualization. Self-actualization. Yeah. It's all about the self. It's all about me. All about me. And then we listen to Jesus' words. We take seriously what Jesus says. And he says the exact opposite. The exact opposite. It's not all about us. What did Jesus talk about? How did Jesus live? Would you say he was a free person? Was Jesus free? He was absolutely free. He served the Lord. He obeyed what his heavenly Father said. He served everyone that came to him. He emptied himself of everything except love. He denied himself completely. And he was free. He was absolutely free. And we want freedom. We go to him. We trust in him. And we follow him. You see how unworldly this is? So how different it is to the world's way of thinking. Yeah. So that's the two lies, and then briefly the two truths. Number one. Let's put ourselves into the big story. Play our minor role, and we'll find true freedom. Let's see ourselves as we really are, in the light of God and his glory and Jesus, his son, and we'll find freedom. I've just been roped in to the Amateur Dramatic Society in Alton. They're doing the Man of La Mancha musical based on Don Quixote. And I've been roped into playing, what do you think? What? No, what's my role? No. No. I am, drum roll, the Padre. You're not awake, are you? Yeah, I've got my part. I'm going to play the Padre. I've got two solos. I've got a bit of script and dialogue to speak. But I'm not the main character. And I'm so pleased I'm not the main character. Let's rejoice that we're not the main character. Because we can't cope with it. Let God be the main character. Let God do his work in us and in the church and in the world. Let's follow him and we'll find freedom. Let's just talk a little bit about this word Exodus. Because Exodus is a major theme in the whole of the scriptures. It's not just there in the Old Testament. It's not just there in Exodus 3 to whenever it is. It's a major continuing theme. A thread that runs through the whole of scripture. Time and again, God promises Exodus. And sometimes he's refused. Sometimes God's people go the wrong way, as we've intimated just a minute ago. Sometimes they follow and they find freedom. And then onto the scene, Jesus comes. And there's one amazing scene. It's on the Mount of Transfiguration. And Jesus is transfigured before some of his friends. And they see Jesus speaking to Elijah and Moses. And we're told from the scriptures that they're talking about Jesus's exodus. His way out. His departure from this world. Why? So that we have a way in. Isn't that amazing? He takes the way out into death, through death, so that we can have a way in into life and into freedom. And by the way, you know, we sang a minute ago about, what was it we were singing about? I can't remember what we were singing about. What was the song? One of the songs we sang a minute ago. That's it. That's the one. Yes, thank you. Psalm 103. Yeah. Let me say this. You know, we said those words from Psalm 103, right? They are true. If you are a Christian today, if you are a follower of Jesus, you are free. You are forgiven. All your sins have been blotted out. You don't have to worry about them anymore. Anymore. I meet so many Christians who are dogged by a sin they committed years ago. But the Lord says, you are forgiven. Jesus' exodus brought us in, if we were only to trust him and believe in him and his work. Just consider this big story of the exodus just quickly again. This is an historical event. It did happen, but it's more than that. It's a metaphor that speaks of the true path to freedom. Consider this question. How did God's people get out? What part did they play? What part did God play? What part did God's people play? Anybody? Exactly. They didn't do anything. Except they moved. That's all they did. God did it all. Because Moses said this. God says to Moses, say to them, stand still and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring today. How did they get out? They did nothing. They did nothing. God did everything. We do not do anything to be free except receive the gift of freedom from the Lord. That's it. Jesus himself said, if I set you free, you'll be free indeed. Or to paraphrase Moses just for a minute, we could say, we just stand still. We just stand still. We look at the cross. We see what Jesus has done for us. We see the deliverance he alone brought us. And we rejoice in it. And we live in it. And we experience it. And we refuse not to go backwards into Egypt. There is much about life that I don't understand, that you don't understand as well, I'm sure. Life often is like looking at a complicated mathematical equation or an ancient hieroglyphic and having no idea what it means. We don't understand. And so much of life we do not understand. But as we look at the big story of the Bible, both the Old and the New Testaments, it is the big story. As God plays his major role and we play our minor role, which leads to freedom. Which leads to my final point. I've really already said this, so I'll just say it again, because I can see the time. Put God at the center of your life. Demote yourself to be a minor character and you'll find freedom. In other words, have faith in the one who brings freedom. And he will bring you out into freedom. He will bring us out into the promised land, as it were. And he will give us clear direction and guidance to enjoy that promised land, that new land that he's giving to us. Society tells us that freedom is found in holding on to our independence, our autonomy, holding on to the kind of self we want to be, but the truth is the very opposite. Freedom is found in surrender, in yielding our lives to the one who made us, who loves us and wants the best for us, who gives us his word that brings life. You know, I struggled with this for quite a while. I remember at music college, going back to music again, saying to myself, no one is going to tell me how to live my life. I'm going to live my life my way. And then after a few years, I thought, it's not working. And then I yielded to the Lord, and I began to experience and enjoy the freedom he alone can bring. Just a few takeaways, quickly. Number one, wake up to reality. We're all controlled by something. We're all controlled by something. Let's do battle with those somethings. Let's not be passive. Let's acknowledge what those things are and say to ourselves, I am not going to allow myself to be enslaved by that anymore. I'm instead going to find freedom and enjoy the freedom Christ alone can bring. Number two, acknowledge your Egypt. What is your Egypt? What is my Egypt? I mean, I could say one of my Egypts is TV. Now I've said that in front of you and in front of Mo, we're going to have another conversation about TV, aren't we? But your Egypt might be something even more serious than TV. Yeah? Your Egypt might be work. You might feel real pressure about work. You might feel oppressed by work. That might be... Or it might be beer. Might be alcohol. If it is, acknowledge it. Because believe me, alcohol does not bring freedom. It does not bring freedom. It brings escapism, but it doesn't bring freedom. I am shocked at the number of Anglicans and other clergy I know or have come to know who've had problem with wine. Yeah. That might be your Egypt. Or it might be something in your past that dominates you. Acknowledge your Egypt. Give it to the Lord. Ask somebody for help. Pray with them. Turn away from it. And then finally, let God be God. Let him do his work in you. Let him set you free. Because if we allow him to set us free, we will be free indeed. We really, really will be. And we will choose never to go back to any kind of slavery in Egypt, whatever that Egypt is. Let me just pray. Let me pray. I'm going to say a prayer, and if you would like to share this prayer with me, that's great, say amen. But if you share this prayer with me, I want to encourage you to ask somebody for help, for ministry, for prayer, for support. Lord, I thank you that it is in you that I am free. But Lord, today I am sorry that I have turned away from your freedom and used my freedom to go back to other things that I've realized today are not helping me. Lord, I'm sorry about the drink that I drink, the things that I do, the things that I watch, the attitudes that I have. Lord, I want to say sorry. I want to confess those things. I want to repent of them. I want to turn away from them. And I want to choose freedom with you, Lord, whatever it takes, whatever it costs. And Lord, I thank you that my freedom has been made possible through your love, Lord. And I rejoice in that today. Help me to live in the freedom that only you can bring. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've prayed that prayer and you need help, please ask for help. Amen. Thank you.